This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Selena, don't worry. One of the things that isn't required of those who are going to be confirmed is that they're able to pronounce all those names in that reading from Acts. If that was the case, Deacon and I would have never made it either. Take courage, you did valiantly. You're getting ready for your confirmation retreat right now. It's already begun, actually. It's also First Friday. And so you have, in a really blessed way, the whole of our Christian community here supporting you, in a sense, right here. One thing that should do for you, well, the Holy Spirit wants to get in. That's right. Because that's what confirmation is all about, isn't it? It's all about opening wide a door within our lives so that the Holy Spirit can get in. That's what retreat is. And even though Jonah just closed the door right there, it wasn't that because he's closing the door to the Holy Spirit in his life. But we can do that, can't we? We can stop the Holy Spirit from acting upon us in a way that the Holy Spirit desires to do so. What we need to do in these next days, to treat them as holy days, because they are. Days where our God wants to get into our souls. Hey, maybe this whole time that we've talked about many, many times before, this whole season of Lent, it's been a wash for us. We didn't do well in it. We didn't keep our resolutions. We failed in them even during Holy Week. And Good Friday just happened to be abysmal for us, other than the fact that we did drag our butts out here to be able to go and worship. That's all we did well. Maybe even Easter Sunday for us, because of that, was lacking in joy, because we know we didn't do well. Don't worry. This is a time of retreat. This is a time from pulling away from all those things that so easily distract us so that we can just focus on what God wants to do within our lives. We're not worried about what happened yesterday or last week or last season or this past year. We're worried about what God wants to do within our souls. Think about this for a moment. It's perfect why we have these readings today. Why? One of the things we make a mistake in, and I as a priest have done this many times, or when I encounter these readings, I never really realize that last line of the gospel. What I was doing was I was thinking, oh yeah, that's right, guess what? Jesus is appearing to the disciples right now, and the reason why they're acting the way that they are is because they didn't know that he was raised from the dead. They heard this woman, Mary Magdalene, talking about these things. Maybe those two disciples who had met him in the road to Emmaus, but they'd never seen him before. That's why they wanted to go fishing. Realize that Peter has already seen Jesus resurrected in the flesh twice before. He passed once into their midst when they were in fear of the Jews, and he passed through the doors. Didymus wasn't there. Doubting Thomas wasn't there. So a week later, Jesus did it again, this time with Didymus, this time with the twin there. And then shortly after that, Peter says, hey guys, I don't get this. I'm going to go fishing. Anybody want to go with me? He didn't get it. It was hard for him to process. Is there anyone in here who could completely process what was going on during Holy Week? It was like that. It happened so quickly. And then now we're in the resurrection season, and all those things happen in such rapid succession. We can't process it. That's all right. Peter struggled with that too. The other disciples struggled with that too. They couldn't process everything that Jesus was doing in the resurrection. So what did they do? They went on retreat. They went back to what they were used to doing. Used to fishing. Something that may cause you to think about something in your lives is, was Peter a successful fisherman? I don't think so. We don't have any recollection in the whole of Scripture that Peter was able to catch a single fish in his whole life, except for when Jesus made him do it. Remember, he caught nothing all at night the first time he met Jesus, And Jesus said, go and do it on this sign. And he caught a bunch. He told him at another point in his ministry, he said, hey, look, they need a tax for us. Go fishing and you're going to catch a fish. And in his mouth, you're going to find a coin to pay for the tax for us. He caught a fish there. He caught a fish, a bunch of fish today, 153 of them. We don't have any record of him catching fish any other time in his life. Only when Jesus told him what to do. So when he goes fishing today, he's looking to take a break. He was going back to something that was comfortable for him, something that he was used to. Brothers and sisters, our Lord isn't calling us in this Easter season or in this retreat to do something comfortable. But he is asking us to be comfortable with him. He isn't asking us to be ready to have everything unfold the way it has all the rest of our lives. He's saying, I'm doing something new. I've been raised. I've got power. And I want you to live in that power. Just as the same as it was for the apostles who received the Holy Spirit, it's going to be the same for each of us in confirmation as we receive the Holy Spirit. Don't kid yourselves. God is not content leaving any of you where you are. But rather, he wants to bring you to a new place where he can build up within you those sevenfold gifts of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge, of courage or fortitude. He wants to give you that grace within your life so you can make right judgments within your lives. He wants to so inspire you with a love of him as your father that you have this great outpouring of piety within your lives. He wants to fill you with a fear or a dread of sin, which is really the fear of the Lord, so that you can do all things well within his presence. Those are the gifts that he wants to give you. And so I've told some of you this already today. And I want to make it clear that this is what our task is today. The rest of you can join us. It's going to be awesome. But it's specifically for you. I want you to take that book that we gave you, that book that I bought for you. And I want you to turn to page 7. And on page 7, you're going to find there these beautiful gifts which the Holy Spirit wants to bestow upon you. I'm going to tell you what it is. And I want you to examine your life based on these things and say to Jesus in the time that we have to pray tonight, what am I lacking? I know you want to give me all 7 of these gifts, but which one do I need most to live my life, the thing that you've called me to do? Lord, where am I weakest? Maybe it's one thing, maybe it's 2 things. And to sit with our Lord and ask him for that gift. I want you to spend all of tomorrow asking him for those 2 gifts or that 1 gift and say, that's the thing I think I need most, God. Impress that upon my soul. And to think about it, not just tomorrow, but Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and all the way to the point where Archbishop John Charles Wester is going to line you all up here and give you that grace of the Holy Spirit. Because one thing I know for sure is that when we ask God for those things which are necessary for our salvation, those things that are going to make us into the saints of God that he's called each of us to be, when we persist in a desire for them, is he a mean, nasty father who's going to hold good gifts from us that we need? No. He's going to give it to you. And he's going to give it to you in spades. And just like the wind desires to get into this church, so too the Holy Spirit desires to get into the church of our own souls to fill us with every grace necessary for salvation. If you ask him for it, and the whole of our believing community who is gathered here is focusing our prayers on you during this holy time, I guarantee you, you're going to get it if you don't resist it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.